welcome to another episode of Science Chat, a science communication podcast. I'm Sean Marshall.
At ESOF 2010 in Turin a year ago,
Dr. Don Powell of the Wellcome Trust Sanger Institute was one of a group of speakers at a session entitled "Are Science Journalists Too Tame to Be a Watchdog?" As part of Science Chat's series of looking back at ESOF 2010 in preparation for ESOF 2012, which as you know is being hosted in Dublin, I spoke to Don about the talk that he gave at this session.
Don, what was the title of your talk at ESOF 2010? What did it mean? And what was the hypothesis that you were putting forward?
My talk was part of a session which is titled, "Are Journalists Too Tame to Be a Watchdog? Can journalists carry out that watchdog role still today?" And there were three speakers. My title was, "Is Journalism Simply to Tell Stories Good or Bad About Science? And Should We Lose the Snobbery of Proper Journalism?" And I guess what it was meant to do was provoke a reaction that we live in changing times in science communication, where the landscape of science communication changes dramatically. The researcher as reporter is becoming more important. Scientists talking directly to audiences. That's building through blogs and through other channels. And the importance of that will only grow. I was trying to ask whether there is a role for science journalism. Is it something that's becoming extinct? My answer quite simply is no. I don't believe it is. I think science journalism is as important today as ever it was. But it is an area of expertise that I think does face challenges. Challenges that mean perhaps, you know, we will come to a point where science journalism will be weakened.
And what do you see as the challenges of science journalism and science reporting?
I talked in a meeting in ESOF 2010 about five particular areas that were relevant to us as an institute. I spoke sort of about our own work. And the first is the challenge of objectivity. As always in reporting, you're trying to get an objective, balanced view, perhaps not as balanced as always possible. But one of the challenges is where do you go for the counter-argument? Where do you go for the debate? Where do you go for the differing opinions? And it can sometimes be, in science especially, be difficult to get people who will discuss outcome, research outcomes, except a fairly small group of people that journalists could tend to go to. The second challenge, I think, is that reporting in science, as in everything else now, is online. It's 24 hours. Science journalists are effectively never offline. We speak to a number of them who are, you know, filing late at night, first thing in the morning. It's just constant filing. And that always engaged life leaves, I think, little time for introspection, for reflection on research, on where things are going, on what was meant, on how the significance of science can be measured and can be presented to publics. So I think that's a challenge, that always there, always doing things. The third challenge that I identified, which I think everybody knows, is the loss of editorial staff from print and from online. There are fewer journalists coping with more input. There are more PR people. There's more science communication. There's more science around. And there are fewer journalists to handle those. Subject to this deluge of press releases that people like me put out every day. So that loss of science journalists makes it much more difficult for those that remain to get space in their papers, in their online materials, but also to report research. And an important part of having a sufficient level of journalistic expertise is that it allows time for the journalist to do research. And it's important to remember that journalists, wherever possible, do spend quite a lot of time doing research. They don't simply churn out press releases and turn them into stories, but want to research their stories, find out what's going on, want to talk to a diverse range of opinions and of stakeholders. And the loss of staff means it's much more difficult for them to find time to research. The fourth challenge I had was the surge, as I mentioned earlier, the surge in researcher as reporter. Talking directly to the scientists, talking directly to audiences. It's a different type of reporting of science in many cases. There's a whole range of science outputs in terms of researchers talking to audiences. But this will increase. And it won't in most cases be a substitute for the science journalism, but it does engage directly with researchers, with the non-specialist audiences. And that's a really important thing that has to happen. And part of what we do is the people who talk for our institute, in fact, are not people like me, are the scientists. So it is they who speak to journalists and they who speak to audiences. And the science blogging activity is simply a more direct way of making sure that's happening. But that increase in researchers, blogging researchers, reporters, means that editors, controllers of newspapers naturally will ask the question, well, why do we employ a very expensive journalist when we can get content for free? And I think that is a fear. The fifth and perhaps more specific concern, challenge that I raised was the ability to keep up with research. And that we work at the Sanger Institute in the field of genetics, of humans, of microorganisms, of disease-causing organisms. And that science in particular, I'm not claiming any particular speed here, but our science is changing very, very rapidly. And the ability to keep up with what's going on in science, I think, is very, very difficult. The machines we have today to decode DNA are hundreds of thousands of times faster than the machines we had 3 years ago, which just changes the landscape of the things you can do. And I, as an embedded person, former scientist here at this institute, find it difficult to keep up with what goes on. And I'm sure that's very, very difficult for the journalists. So I think there's a range of challenges that are both internal to media, the limited revenue streams, the need for online continuous reporting, the difficulty to find time for research, the difficulty of finding an objective comment, and the speed of change of research. I think these are all very, very difficult times for the generalist science reporter to be able to do his or her job.
And just on those challenges, Don, what do you think the outcome will be? Do you think that there's a real danger that because we have such open access to information and because we have such a need for information to be, you know, bombarded at us so quickly, that there is a real danger that science journalism as a skill might just disappear?
I think not. I hope it doesn't. I mean, it's important to. I think science journalism is essential. I think it is a good watchdog. For example, I think it does lay a level of interpretation and objectivity that we don't naturally come to as researchers. We don't necessarily step back as much as a journalist might. I think there are dangers to science journalism. There are dangers that it will become specialised in niche. I think it's important to remember also that there is, although I tend to think, because we have most of our work about daily newspapers, but there are the weeklies and the monthlies and the more measured online production. So that there is a group of journalistic output in those more measured publications. But I think the science, daily science journalism I see is continuing to be important. I wouldn't expect sports reporting to disappear, and I see no reason why something that's almost as important as sports, I see no reason why science shouldn't continue. But they will be tough times because researchers, understandably, are talking directly to publics.
Yeah, and I suppose one of the things that, I mean, a lot of people say about science journalism and science reporting in these particularly challenging times is that the standards are maybe slipping. And do you think that the standards of science reporting are slipping? And if they are, you know, is that a real problem? Isn't really just the goal of science reporting to inform the public anyway?
I have to work with journalists. Of course, I'm going to say their standards are as high as ever. I do genuinely believe that standards are high now as they were when I first went into this area about 15, 16 years ago. I think I see amongst the younger science journalists, I see just as good science journalists coming through now as the group that I kind of started with. So I think the standards are still high. I think the problems they have, as we alluded to earlier, is that the time is shorter and the space is much busier. There are more voices. There is less time for them to reflect and to review and to measure a piece of research. And so that is, I think that is a real challenge. But we mustn't forget that science journalists still, in essence, file one or a few stories per day. And that's what they used to do 10, 15, 20 years ago. That hasn't changed. In some ways, it's the deluge of material that people like I produce that has become a challenge for them. In terms of broader science communication, by bringing researchers into the communication family of outputs, the range of outputs from researchers talking to audiences is as broad as the range of researchers talking about anything. And there are some that are very good and there are some that are certainly less good. But that richer set of communications with a broader base is a good thing. As I said earlier, from this institute, even though we produce a press release and I actually send it to journalists, it's the researchers whose words are there, it's the researchers who talk to the journalists. So there's nothing different really about researchers talking directly except there's this medium of the press office and journalists. Excuse me, slightly lost. I think the standards are still there. I don't think standards have slipped. I think I've got great confidence in the standards of science journalism today. And if journalists think we're being a bit flippant or a bit uncertain on what we're saying, then we're certainly questioned as strongly today as we were 10, 15 years ago. We're still questioned as robustly today as we were during the Human Genome Project in 2000. Is the role of science journalism to inform the public or science reporting? I think the role of science reporting, I think, in many ways these days is certainly to inform the public. So if you want to talk about CERN or something, you might talk about Large Hadron Colliders. I think there's an important role for science communication, and I'm not sure whether this is science reporting or not, but that is to engage with publics. An important part of what we do is to try to engage with different audiences about the science and about the issues that surround it. Now, my job is media and public relations at the Sanger Institute, so I hope that you go away thinking we're the best institute on the face of the planet, because that's part of my job. But we have a more important job, I think, and that's to raise awareness, raise questioning, raise debate about the issues around science. And our science in particular, which is human genetics, pathogen genetics, understanding the genetic basis of disease. Our science in particular is one that is the outcomes of which must be placed within healthcare systems, within society, and society makes decisions about what we do and whether it's good or bad. And those discussions, I think, should be as informed and enlightened as they can. And so part of what we want to do is raise awareness and raise questioning and engage with publics. Now, one of the ways in which we do that is through science journalism. We do that through public engagement programs. We do it through all sorts of mechanisms. But I think an important role for science communication for us is much on the engagement side as it is on the sort of public relations media side. The journalists, I think, play a similar role in that I think the way in which an article can be written about science, and often is to raise questions about research, and that's what good journalism, I think, does. There's Ed present the research, but then raises questions about what it might mean, what it might not mean, where the benefits are, where the deficits are, where the harms might be. And that's good science journalism, is to raise issues, to present facts, to display them in a comprehensible way, which goodness only knows is very, very difficult with genetics, because I don't understand it, to raise those in a comprehensible way and then raise issues that surround it. And I think good journalism can do that, and good journalism does do that.
Don, I think maybe we should finish with your thoughts on where do we go from here? What should we do to try to encourage science journalists to put the effort in to educate people to keep reading the right sort of newspaper? to make sure that they're getting the right level of information on science?
That's a very, very good question, John. I think what we have to do, I think what we have people in my sort of role and people like me, I think researchers do, have to provide support and help to journalists so that they might do their job. And, you know, there have been times when I haven't got back to journalists and haven't responded, just as I'm sure everybody else has done. But I think we need to make sure that we can provide journalists wherever possible with what it is that they need to do their job. Not because we're trying to feed them stuff, not because we're trying to get them on their side, but because they are an important part of communicating what goes on in research. Most people will get their news these days from online. In the olden days, you know, 5-10 years ago, it used to be a newspaper. The thing is, when you read a newspaper, as you turn the pages, you will pass the science story. The thing about online is you need never click on the science story, so you need never see it. So as we move more and more to online, I think it's much more important that science journalism and reporting of science and science stories do matter to people, and we give them to journalists in a way that gives them the chance of getting them on the home page or on that important listing. I think people's knowledge of news, people's access to news, will become more filtered and more segmentalized as online mechanisms become much more important than print. And so I think supporting journalists by giving them access to researchers, by giving them direct ways of talking, by speeding up our responses and by asking them what it is they want are important parts of what we can do to help. Beyond that, it's buying newspapers and writing into the editor and saying what a great report so-and-so did in such and such a paper.
And on that note, Don, I'd like to thank you very much for taking time out of your busy schedule to talk to Science Chat today.
Thank you very much, Sean. I very much enjoyed it.
Well, that's it for another episode of Science Chat. You can find out more about ESOF 2012 on their website, www.dublinscience2012.ie. As usual, you can find out more about this episode and other episodes at www.sciencechat.net/WordPress.